begin by echoing Rabbi Kalinsky's words from before Maariv. It's very important that everyone who is eligible to and hasn't yet registered to vote should do so, and that we should all follow that up with voting in the forthcoming election. Regardless of the electoral outcome, the worrisome fact that undisguised rabid Sinas Yisrael is socially and politically acceptable in New York City, of all places, should remind us of two fundamental truths. Meshech Chochma writes, commenting on the passage from the Sifri that we quote in the Haggadah, Vayogosham Lamech Lo Yared Yaakov Avinu Lehishtakeya Ela Logosham. Perush Melamed Ledoros B'chol Golos V'Golos HaHanhoga Sheyedun Shelo Yordu Lehishtakeya Rak Logor Ad Bo Keitz HaYomin V'yiyu Nechshovim Be'enei Atzmam Lo Ke'ezrochem. Meshech Chochma says that our, in Golos, our relationship with the country where we live is a dialectical one. On the one hand, on the civic, societal level, we are loyal, law-abiding, productive, contributing members of society, and like every citizen, are entitled to the benefits, the full benefits of citizenship. But religiously, in terms of our internal compass, in terms of our internal religious orientation, v'yiyu nechshavim be'enei atzmam lo ke'ezrochem. There are several legitimate, even compelling factors for why a Jew can be living in Chutz La'aretz, hopefully in each of our lives, at least one of these factors is present. But there's no reason and there's no justification for ever forgetting that we're living in Golos. There can be reason to live in Golos, but there's never ever reason to forget that we're living in Golos. What's so striking about the fact Melamed Shelo Yored Yaakov Avinu Lehishtakeya, to settle Ela Logor Shom, to live there as a stranger, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Avinu that he was going to die in Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Avinu Anochi Alcha Gam Olo, he promised him Kvura and Eretz Yisrael. So Yaakov Avinu knew that in terms of his this worldly existence, that Mitzrayim was the final stop. And yet, that reality notwithstanding, attitudinally, but it was Lag Vashem. And maybe the more we internalize that religious orientation of Yiyu Nachshavim Be'enei Atzman, again, Klapei Pnim, not Klapei Chutz. Yiyu Nachshavim Be'enei Atzman Lo Ke'ezrachim, maybe the more we internalize that, the less need there will be for external reminders from Sonei Yisrael. Someone shared the following story, the following encounter that he had with a Rav. I don't know, it's probably a story that, I don't know, goes back 50 years. So he shared the story with me that he once met the Rav in the airport, that the Rav commuted between Boston and New York, and he went over to give shalom, and the Rav responded and struck up a conversation with him, and he asked him where he lives, and the person said, "I live in such and such a place," and he mentioned the community where he lived, and the Rav said, "Yeah, it's like a beautiful, strong Jewish community," and then he added, "But there's only one problem: they forget that they're in Golos." Same point as the Meshech Chochma. The second truth that we're reminded of is one that the Rambam highlights in Igeres Teman. The Rambam says, from the time of Maimed Har Sinai and Bechiras Yisrael, Hiskomemu kol ha'umos oleinu ba'avura al tzad kinah v'resha. Bechiras Yisrael, the way that Umos Olam chose to respond to Bechiras Yisrael was with jealousy and wickedness. And then the Rambam makes a striking, sweeping statement. V'lohoyo zman me'oz ad ota. So from the time of Maimed Har Sinai until today, in the 12th century, lo hoya zman me'oz ar'ata shelo sam kol melech az o ish rosham mezgaber reishis kol kavanosav achris mitzvosav listo torasenu. Every brazen ruler, every Russia who prevails, his intent and his goal are to rebel against Bechiras Yisrael. Rambam says basically they're waging war against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That can't be done, so they wage a proxy war against us. Anti-Semitism is a constant in Jewish history. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim writes, and I think it's at the end of Perek Ches, end of Perek Zayin probably, that when a chayal goes out to wage war, he should know that Al Yichar Hashem Ho'osa Mochama. And that statement, again, in the halachic context of Mishnah Torah, reflects this historical understanding. Whatever pretext may be given, maybe the pretext is territorial, all kinds of excuses and pretexts, but really it's just the latest battle in this ongoing war against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which then gets directed against us. Rotzim lachlok al Hashem, ve'ein lachlok alav. So they aim their, used to be their arrows, and now it's the missiles, Rachman Litzlan, against us. And what's so striking about Mishnah Torah is mainly you could have said that the Rambam in Igeres Teimon makes a statement about history from Matan Torah until the 12th century. But what would the Rambam say about what happened subsequently? So, okay, you don't really know from Igeres Teimon. But the Rambam clearly, when he wrote Mishnah Torah, was writing Torah that's eternal. So when he writes in Hilchos Melachim that the Chayal should know that Al Yichar Hashem Osa Mochama, the Rambam didn't think that was going to become dated. The Rambam didn't think that was going to become outdated. So what the Rambam was telling us is, it's been a constant until now, and it will remain a constant until the Malach HaMashiach comes. You know, until a couple of years ago, there are times and there are short kufas in history where we have a respite from anti-Semitism. It was a golden age in Spain in terms of world history. It wasn't that much, not that long after that there was Gerus for it. And there was a time when many people without a sense of history thought that America was different. So I remember, I think I was in my teens at the time, that the Rav was giving a drasha, and he said, you know, many people asked, and he posed the question rhetorically, referring to the Holocaust, could it happen here in the United States? And he answered so emphatically, of course it could happen. The vile mobs on college campuses, you know, began their protests before Medinas Yisrael engaged in its defensive actions in Gaza. If anti-Semitism can explode, so obviously it means that it was there beneath the surface and just needed a spark. You know, if a spark falls and there's an explosion, so it means there was an awful lot of sticks of dynamite there. Because if there was nothing there, so then the spark fizzles and nothing happens. There are certainly Hasidim Masala. There certainly are. And there certainly are Hasidim Masala in this country. and we recognize them and we appreciate them. And we're not painting everyone with that same broad stroke. That anti-Semitism is a constant in the collective Jewish historical experience. It has been since Maimon Har Sinai, and it remains that way. And it remains that way. And that's what we've been living through the past 2 years, and it has, in this electoral cycle and season, become even more vividly clear and is more acutely felt. The last point that we'll discuss tonight . What's excruciatingly painful, one excruciatingly painful element in the current unfolding politics is the role of self-hating Jews. It's painful beyond words, beyond words. The depth of the hatred, that self-hatred, but you know, when a Jew hates himself, so that translates as perfidy, because he then hates other Jews as well, anyone who's holding on to their Jewishness. The depth of that hatred is staggering, but it's actually not surprising. So to suggest one perspective, not the only one, but one perspective on that phenomenon. You know, Ba'avonoseinu HaRabim, that there are many Jews, most Jews, not just many, most Jews, atinokos shenishbu. They're not yet religious, but Baruch Hashem, most of them are not self-hating. They're not looking to extinguish, Rahman al-Itzlan, their Jewishness. It's just that because, through no fault of their own, as tinoko shenishbu, their neshama, all the nitzotza shel kedusha, are dormant. So their Jewishness isn't the factor in their lives that it should be, and it's sadly, tragically neglected until it will be ignited within them. But Rachman al-Itzlan, some Jews, the self-hating Jews, they want to extinguish their Jewishness. It's not that their Jewishness is dormant. They want to extinguish it. They want to uproot it. But that can't be done. Yisrael afu pi shechata Yisrael. There's an element in the neshama which remains, which allows for the potential for tshuva. So the efforts to extinguish, to suppress, to uproot that Jewishness are futile. They're constantly frustrated. And because of that, they constantly redouble and intensify their efforts. And that's what generates this seemingly open-ended, bottomless self-hatred. It's excruciating and painful to see, and on one level, it's the worst part of the whole parsha. The worst part of the whole parsha. Ben zelu mazeh asa lukim. Whenever we see how much a Jew, Rachmana Litzlan, can rebel against Kedusha, it's a reminder of how much a Jew can cultivate and pursue and attain Kedusha. And halavai, that should be what emerges.